Hello, good morning. This is Rick Pina, and I am bringing you today's word for August 17th, 2026. I'm teaching a series about destiny. We've been walking through the life of Jacob. I could keep going, but I think we're getting to the point where I'm about to move on to the next character. But there's some things that we still got to learn from the life of Jacob. Before I get too deep in the message for this morning, I do need to let you know that our church has a cruise this week. We have a family conference on a cruise. And tomorrow morning at this time, Isabella and I will be traveling. So you will get a message. I still want you to tune in tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. It will be a flashback message, but I pray over these flashback messages. I'll pick the right one. Tune in tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. It is going to bless you. I'm telling you, it's going to bless you. Also, for those of you that are part of our business consortium at our church, we have our session tonight at 7 p.m. So I'm looking forward to that. So let's get into the word for this morning. We've been walking through the life of Jacob. This is Discovering Destiny Part 32. And the title of today's message is Hold On Until You're Changed. You know the encounter. You know where I'm going with this. But you got to hold on until you're changed. You got to hold on to God until you're changed. Your change is coming. What you don't want to do is let go before your change comes. Put in the chat, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on. I'm not going to let go until you bless me, God. That's the attitude that we're going to have. This is going to be good. Open up your heart to receive. I'm excited about this message because you know what? People study or they remember the life of Jacob or Joseph or Abraham or Gideon or David or whomever in the Bible. And sometimes they don't remember the details and they don't remember the chronology. So we've been studying the life of Jacob so far, and we've seen all of these things happen. But most of you know from Sunday school, from growing up, that Jacob wrestled with this angel. And we haven't gotten to that point yet. So now he's on his way back to go meet his brother Esau. And this is when the encounter happens. Before we can get into that, I need to give you the foundational scriptures for this year. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Luke 10:20 says, it's time for you to rediscover who you are from heaven's perspective. 1 John 3:10 says, there is a very visible and vast difference between living your life from God's identity and living your life from a fallen man's mindset. Proverbs 25:2 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to go search it out. And in Jeremiah 29:13, the Lord tells us how to seek him. It says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Those are the scriptures for the year. Let me get into this encounter for today. Genesis 32:26 from the New Living says, then the man said, let me go, for dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. No, no, sir. No, ma'am. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Genesis 32:28, New Living says, your name will no longer be Jacob. From now on, you will be called Israel. Because you have fought with God and with men and you won. God changed his name. Genesis 22 to 24 from the Passion Translation says, during that night, Jacob arose, woke up his two wives and his two maidservants and his 11 sons and had them to cross over the Jabbok River. For he sent them across with everything he had, and Jacob was left alone. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a man appeared and wrestled with him until daybreak. Genesis 32:25, New Living. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and knocked it out of socket. Genesis 32 and 27, New Living. What is your name? The man asked. And he replied, Jacob. Genesis 27 and 19, New Living. Jacob replied, this is going way back, when he was 20 years earlier, when he stole the birthright. His father said, who is this? What is your name? Which one of my two sons is this? He said, I'm Esau, your oldest son. I've done as you told me. Here's the wild game. Now sit and eat and give me your blessing. He lied 20 years earlier when he was asked his name. Genesis 32 and 30, New Living. Jacob named that place Peniel, which means the face of God. For he said, you know what? Tonight I saw God face to face and I left with my life spared. Genesis 32 and 31, New Living. The sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel and he was limping because of the injury to his hip. Hosea 12 and 4, New Living. Hosea was talking about this encounter that Jacob had. Hosea said, yes, he wrestled with the angel and won. He wept and pleaded for a blessing from him. And he got the blessing. 1 John 1 and 9 says, but if we freely admit our sins, when his light uncovers them, God will be faithful to forgive us every time. God, who is just to forgive us of our sins because of Christ, and he will continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 from the Passion Translation says, now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished, and behold, everything is fresh and everything is new. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, New Living, last verse. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. Those were a lot of verses that I read, and I'm going to weave them all together in one message for today. Jacob prayed the promise. Remember Friday, I talked about Jacob praying the promise. But the problem is that after he prayed the promise, after he said, Lord, you said, he reminded God of what he said. Then he kind of went right back to his own plans. He kind of went right back to his own humanity. You know what he did? I didn't cover it today, but let me just tell you. So he's going back to see his brother. His brother's coming with 400 men. There's a whole battalion of soldiers basically with his brother. He's like, what am I going to do? And so he says, you know what I'm going to do? Let me get a gift. Let me see if the gift would kind of like calm my brother down. So he tells his servants, all right, this is what I want you to do. Let's get a gift together for my brother. Get 220 goats. Get 220 sheep. Get 30 camels with all their young. Get 40 cows. Get 10 bulls. Get 30 donkeys. And then he broke down all the gifts into waves and he sent it ahead of him to soften his brother's heart before he ever stood face to face with him. And then the sun went down. So this is what's happening, right? He sent all the gifts and he sent all the servants. And then the sun went down. So in the middle of the night, the Bible says that he got up and he was like, man, he's freaking out over seeing his brother. He doesn't know what he's going to. You ever been there? Like you have a meeting tomorrow. Like, you know, you have this thing and you can't sleep. Like that's not good because you're relying on your own humanity. The Bible says that it's vain to sit up late at night eating the bread of sorrow. What am I going to do? Right? It's vain. You should not do that. God gives his beloved sweet sleep. Well, Jacob was not sleeping. In the middle of the night, he got up, took his two wives, took his two servants, their servants, his 11 sons, and he sent them across the Jabbok River too. And he sent everything that he owned behind them, right? That's Genesis 32. We already read that. He sent them across everything that he had. The Bible says he was left all alone. And suddenly out of nowhere appeared a man that wrestled with him until daybreak. I want you to see the picture. The family is gone. The flocks are gone. 20 years of wealth is gone. It's sitting on the other side of the river, right? The man who had been counting his stuff was left with nothing left to count, right? He's there by himself. And I want you to really see this because once he sent everything over, that was it. Everything he had was on the other side of the river. There was no bank accounts back then. So you know how sometimes, like today, I don't travel with cash, right? Because our stuff is in a bank or in different places. Right? Or we have... our investments in things that we can touch and assets. No, no, no. All his assets were on the other side of the river. There was no bank. So his family was gone. His two wives and their two servants were gone. And his 11 children were gone. And all of that was on the other side of the river. And then the Bible says, out of nowhere, God showed up. This man showed up. He knew it was not an ordinary man. And it was an angel. And the angel was wrestling with him. And the angel wound up knocking his hip out of joint and said, let me go, man. The sun is about to come up. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And then the angel says something significant, very powerful. What is your name? What is your name? It was like the angel was holding up a mirror. You know what Jacob means? Jacob means shifty one. Jacob means conniver, right? Jacob means trickster. And so he says, well, what is your name? 20 years earlier, his father had asked, what is your name? He said, I'm Esau, right? I'm your oldest son. Give me the blessing. Well, 20 years later, God is asking, what is your name? And you know what he said? I love what he said. He's been through a lot in 20 years. And so he didn't try to come up with nothing funny. He said, my name is Jacob. He says, basically, I am who you think I am. Like, I'm that guy. I'm the trickster. I'm the conniver. And once he acknowledged that, you know what God did? He said, okay, fine. So from now on, you're not going to be called Jacob. You will be called Israel. And then the angel left, gave him a new name, and he left with a limp. So what does this mean for you today? You know the story. Come on. You're like, Rick, this is, I learned this in Sunday school. You know the story, but let's talk about the lessons for this week. And let's talk about the lessons for today. I got four things to share with you this morning. Y'all ready? Four things. Number one, here we go. I'm excited. Number one, God will get you alone before he changes you. Let's talk about this one-on-one encounters with God. Encounters with God of the God kind. Watch what happened before the encounter. Jacob sent all his stuff over. He sent his wives, their servants, all 11 children, sent all the stuff, sent all the gifts, everything was gone. He spent 20 years building a life, and everything he spent 20 years building was on the other side of the river. And when he was all alone with nobody around, that's when out of nowhere, the Bible says, a man showed up. See, God is not after your stuff. God is after you. Like, you spent all these years. Like, you could say to your spouse, babe, do you remember when we had nothing? Do you remember when we didn't have nothing? And now we have this house and another house. Now we have this car and another car. Now we have this. Yeah. You could name all the stuff that you have now. That's great. But God is not after your stuff. God is after you. Jacob spent that night taking inventory of his life. He left home with nothing but a stick. And now he's coming back with two camps full of stuff, right? But at the end of the day, your stuff doesn't matter. Having all of this stuff doesn't matter. He was returning with more stuff, but the question was, are you returning with more character? You've accumulated a bunch of stuff over the years, but my question is, are you growing in grace and in the knowledge of him? Yeah, you have more things that you ever thought you would have now, but God is not interested in your things. God is interested in your heart. You know when God met Moses? God met Moses on the backside of the desert after he had spent 40 years there, and it was all alone. It was a one-on-one encounter with God at the burning bush. You know when God met Elijah? God met Elijah in a cave when he was all alone. It was just him and God. You know what happened with Jesus? Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he only took his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, and then he gets there, and he's like, only these three are going to go with me. And he goes to pray. And even those three fell asleep. And the Father met Jesus one-on-one. We serve a God that will manifest himself all by, when you're all by yourself. Listen, it's cool and everything to worship God in church. It's cool. Like, you're at the altar, you're around people, there's songs going on, there's music that's playing, that you feel this environment, you might get caught up in it. You don't even raise your hands, and all of a sudden now you're raising your hands, or you don't cry, and all of a sudden you're crying, and all of that, that's great. But God wants you one-on-one. There are moments, like right here in my office, right here on that floor, right here behind me. I have a prayer closet upstairs, a prayer room, But yeah, sometimes I go into the prayer room. A lot of times I just do it right here. God wants you one-on-one. Yes, you want to be a public success, but your public success comes after your private processing. And so as a believer, as a born-again believer, let me tell you something, that God processes you in private before he promotes you in public. I told you that public successes are developed in obscurity. God wants to know that you are earnest with him when nobody knows your name, so that he can release you into the moments where everybody knows your name. This is the year of discovery, and discovery happens in the secret place. Put in the chat, the secret place. The crowd can be there to celebrate your destiny, but God is going to reveal that destiny to you when you're all alone. Don't wait for your life to order your schedule when it comes to God. Jacob never planned this encounter, right? He could have, though. Here's the thing about this night. It's a big night. Tomorrow, he's going to see Esau. He just sent his family over. Everybody's gone. All his stuff is on the other side of the river. You know what he could have done? He could have said, Lord, this is my time to worship you. Just like I had built an altar before. You know what I'm going to do tonight, Lord? I'm going to build an altar. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to call upon your name. I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to look back over 20 years and I want to say thank you. I want to just worship you one-on-one before I go into this encounter tomorrow. But he didn't do that. And since he didn't do that, then God sent an angel to encounter him. What I'm saying is that, listen, you can either give God your attention or God will have to get your attention. And I've done both. I would rather give God my attention than have to have God get my attention. Another way to say it is you can either let your prayer order your day or your day is going to order your prayer. What you want to do is make sure that you're making time for God. He could have worshiped. He could have scheduled the worship. He did not. So listen, when you have these moments where you feel like everybody's gone, the crowd is gone, it's just you and God, don't panic. This is not abandonment. This is preparation. We serve a God that will speak to you in the silence. So when you are silent, when everybody's gone, it's just you and God. I love when I'm on vacation to go to the beach. It's just early in the morning. Isabella be sleeping. I'm by myself. Just me and God on the beach. That's my time with God. Seek those silent moments with God, and you will see that in the silence, God will speak. Say amen to that. All right? That's number one. All right, number two, he refused to let go until he was blessed. You know what? The angel was like, hey, man, the sun is about to come up. You got to let me go. He says, no, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. He knew that there was a blessing there. He knew. And the angel could have ended this at any time. The angel just touched his hip and knocked his hip out of socket. The angel could have ended this at any time, but the angel really appreciated the desperation. I've said before that desperation is the breeding ground of miracles. You know what Jacob was saying? When he asked him, he said, well, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. I acknowledge that I'm Jacob. I acknowledge that I'm not perfect. I acknowledge that, yeah, you've been better to me over these 20 years that I've been to you. But I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Lord, I just want you to bless me. The angel took his hip out of socket. He was in a position to finally let go, but the angel did bless him. The angel said, you know what? Your name is no longer going to be Jacob. It's going to be Israel. When Hosea mentions this encounter with Jacob in Hosea 12 and 4, the Bible says, Hosea says, he wept and pleaded for a blessing. He wept and pleaded. Have you ever been there where you're crying? I'm talking about tears. He wept and pleaded for a blessing. Listen, sometimes you got to hold on to God. And sometimes you got to be like, God, I'm not going to let you go until you speak to me. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Like, you got to get desperate. There are moments, I don't know about you, I've been there many times where God is looking for that level of desperation. God is looking for that earnest desire, for that intimate worship. Wrestling with God, that's not rebellion. Like people, I'm not going to let you go. That's not you rebelling. That's you refusing to walk away empty. That is a earnest desire. That is hunger and thirst after righteousness. And they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Listen, the pain that he got was not a signal to let go. The pain was that, you know what? I recognize and I realize that you truly are hungry. You got to be hungry. You got to be thirsty after the things of God. I don't know about you, but I want to become the man that God has called me to be. I want to experience everything that God has for me. I want to arrive at God's overall expected end for my life. And I'm not going to let God go until he blesses me. I want to have these encounters of the God kind. And if that's your heart, put in the chat, I won't let it go. I won't let him go. I'm not going to let go until he blesses me. Say amen to that. Number three, he had to say his name so God could change it. This is one of the most critical moments of that encounter that night. God already knew the answer to the question, but he said, well, what's your name? 20 years earlier, he lied. He said, my name is Esau, but not tonight. 20 years later, he said, what is your name? All his stuff was gone. The wives were gone, 11 children gone. He just looked at him and said, my name is Jacob. See, God will not rename a man or a woman who refuses to tell the truth about who they are and where they are. It is you acknowledging, it is you confessing that this is who I am, and this is what I am, and this is what I'm not, and it all belongs to you. Lord, like he acknowledged, I am Jacob. I am the trickster. I am the conniver. I've lied. I've done more things that I want to acknowledge, and this is who I am. And you know what I love about God? God did not shame him. God renamed him. God didn't say, okay, well, now that you acknowledge that you're a deceiver, now that you acknowledge that you're a conniver, let me put you down. He said, no. Let me kick you while you're down. No, God says, now, I'm not here to shame you. I'm here to rename you. I will call you Israel. And that word Israel means God will rule. He gave him a name. He became the father of the 12 tribes. He was Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel were born from a man that had messed up, who had lied, who had tricked, who was a deceiver, who did all things wrong. Jacob knew who he was and he acknowledged it. He said, my name is Jacob. He says, now that you acknowledge who you are, now that you come to me, not like somebody who thinks they're good. Like, you know, that's the dangerous part of being religious. Religious people pray prayers like, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like such and such down the street. Lord, I thank you that I'm not. No, see, you're coming to God with a level of pretense. Like you think you're somebody. No, but when you acknowledge, Lord, I'm nobody. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I am, you snatched me like a brand from the burning, that without you, I can do nothing. And without you, I am nothing. Lord, I come to you, everything that I am and everything that I'm not, it all belongs to you. Lord, I'm not good enough. I don't deserve the blessings that you have given me, but whatever I am, I'm putting it all in your hands. And so when he put his life in his hands, he says, my name is Jacob. He says, okay, got it. Now I can take that and I can rename you. I can elevate you. I can exalt you, but you got to be honest with me. Don't come to God as if you're somebody you're not. Don't come to God with all of this pomp and circumstance and pretense. What you want to do is come to God earnest and honest and humble and acknowledge the fact that without God, you can do nothing. Acknowledge the fact that in him, yes, I can do all things. In him, I'm a new creature, but outside of him, I am nothing. And when you come to God that way, then God can use you. He will exalt you. He will promote you. And then when he delivers you and forgives you, then you're a new man. And so you're so new that 2 Corinthians 7:2, the Apostle Paul, even though he had done many terrible things when he was Saul of Tarsus, you know what I love about the Apostle Paul? He says in 2 Corinthians 7:2, I have wronged no man. I haven't done nothing wrong to nobody. What he was saying, all of that stuff that I did is under the blood. You come to God, you acknowledge all of your wrongdoings. You acknowledge how messed up you are. And God says, okay, son, okay, daughter, now I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to bless you and I'm going to use you like you've never done it. And then God will propel you into this new life, into your destiny. Say amen to that. Glory to God. Number four, so I can let you go. He stopped running and he started learning. He says, you know what? Genesis 32 and 31, the sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel because he had a limp. He had to walk with this injury. And so a lot of people focus on the limp like that's the prize. I've heard people say that you can't serve God until you have a limp. Like, you know, like you gotta go through this terrible experience and whatever you went through. And then now, and people know that you went through it and now you're qualified to serve God. I don't ascribe to that. I'm not saying that God can't use you with a limp, but I'm just saying that your pain doesn't have to be public for God to use you. God, what God is looking for is your heart. And so God is just looking for somebody that's going to lean on him and trust in him and believe in him, and somebody that's going to take all the failures. Yes, you have a limp. Maybe your limp is not seen everywhere else. Maybe you have a limp that's not public. But whether it's public or not, the true test is that, have you had encounters with God? The change is not, or the proof is not the pain. The proof is the change. Like, if you really had an encounter with God, then you leave changed. And when you leave changed, God can take your life, and then everybody will know that you've been with him, because it is his power being manifested in your weakness. You live your life from that moment on totally dependent on God. Like, you're not just praying to God, you're depending on God. You're genuinely depending. Like, you're saying, my life is dependent on God. When he left that encounter that night, he left with a new name, he left with a limp, and he left with an encounter with God. He called the place Peniel. He says, you know what? I saw God face to face and I didn't die. I may have left wounded, but more importantly, I left changed. Here's my question to you. Yes, you've been through things with God, and you've probably made more mistakes than you want to remember, just like me. The question is not, did you leave wounded? The question is, did you leave changed? Like, have you acknowledged your faults and your flaws and your failures? Have you acknowledged all the many times that you messed up and God blessed you anyway? And when you get to that point where you realize you're nothing without God, but you're everything in him, when you leave that encounter, you will leave changed. Your total reliance will be on him. Put in the chat, Lord, I rely on you. I'm trusting in God. I'm believing in God. You know what I am? I'm a steward. I'm a steward of the life that God gave me. I don't own anything. Everything belongs to him. My life all belongs to him. And so I'm just thankful that I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do, because my life is in his hands. Say amen to that. Let's close this message out with a declaration of faith. Say this. Say, Father, I thank you that you are not finished with me. I will not let you go until you bless me. Now, when the room gets quiet, I don't run away from that silence. I lean into it. When it's just me and you, I'm honest with you, Lord. Everything that I am and everything that I'm not, it all belongs to you. My weakness is actually the platform that you can use where your power is manifested in the most powerful way. I give you what I'm not, and you turn it around. You don't shame me. You rename me for your glory. So I head into this day knowing that you are on me, you are in me, you are with me, and you are for me. This Monday morning and this week is blessed. I'm walking with God, and God is walking with me. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. This is today's word. Please apply it and prosper. Listen, I love you. I thank God for you. I appreciate you. I need you to do three things. Leave me some comments in the chat if this message was a blessing to you. Share it on your social media, on your timeline, and with your friends. And listen to this outro video. The outro video is going to tell you about my books. Man, the book, Level Up Your Life, Praying from a Position of Grace, with both of those. But Praying from a Position of Grace, I'm getting so many testimonies that this book is changing the way that people pray. So if you don't have that book, go to rickpina.co and get that book. This video is going to tell you about our ministry. If you're not a partner with our ministry, just, if you're led to, become a partner. You can make a donation today by going to ripministries.org. And then if you want any t-shirts or hoodies or coffee mugs or whatever, go to the gracelife.store. I love you. God loves you more. Remember, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., tune in, and then we'll see what happens with the rest of the week on the cruise. I love you. Have an amazing day. Greater is coming for you. I'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. Thank you for watching the Grace Life Podcast. There's a few things that I want to make you aware of. First of all, if you would like to support our ministry and especially support what we're doing in the Dominican Republic, well, we have over 235 children in a school getting a Christ-based education free of charge. We're paying for everything. Our ministry does that out of the love of God and all of our partners that are supporting it. You can go to ripministries.org and make a donation, and all your donations are tax deductible in the United States. Also, I have some books that are available to you in audio form and also in paperback or hardcover. So go to Amazon.com and just search for Rick Pina, or you can go to rickpina.co. And when you go there, you'll be able to see the links. You can get a book that I wrote called Level Up Your Life, where you can level up your life in five areas of your life. There's a devotional guide that will lead you to experience grace-based success. And if you want assistance with declaring the word of God over your family and your finances and your health and your career, you should get 150 affirmations for men or 150 affirmations for women. And we have lots of other books and journals and other content that can be a blessing to you. People ask me all the time, hey, Rick, how do I get a t-shirt or a hoodie or a coffee mug or some of those things that I see you wear? Well, you can go to thegracelife.store. We've partnered with a brand new store. The quality of the materials are a lot better. Please go to thegracelife.store and you can get all of our products there. Not only that, but at the top of thegracelife.store, there's a link to books. And when you click on books, it'll take you right to all of our products on Amazon as well. Finally, listen, people have been coming to Isabella and I for mentorship for many, many years. And the Lord led me a few years ago to take some of the content that we've been mentoring others with. And instead of just saying it over the phone or on a video call, we've been recording this content and publishing it. We have well over 1,000 videos at this point. And a lot of the videos have a PDF handout that goes along with them. So we publish all of this content on our Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/Rick Pina. There's different ways to join. At the lowest level, you have access to all the content. At another level, if you want to have one-on-one sessions with Isabella and I, you can do that too. So if you would like to be mentored by us, please go to patreon.com/Rick Pina. Thank you for being a blessing to us, and we pray that we will continue to be a blessing to you.